Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big
Nerd Podcast.
Explore your inner nerd.
Some call it a hobby, but if you're really into something, let's face it, you're nerdy about it. Whether that's video games, statistics, old books, or cars, it's all geek to host Ray Bisock as he takes you into the minds of his guests and his own nerdy obsessions.
Now your host, Ray Bisock, and the Big Nerd Podcast.
He's so nerdy.
Everybody, welcome back to the Big Nerd Podcast. It is the B-I-G-N-E-R-D, Ray Bisock, here at Florida Southern College in Lakeland, Florida, of course. And I'm here with Slinky Jones, a member of the men's basketball team. How you doing, Slinky?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem, man. First athlete I've had on the show, other than wrestlers. I've had a few wrestlers on there. But nobody I've worked quite closely with. I've seen a lot of your games, so... But yeah, tell me. First of all, let's get into your background. I mean, you grew up in New York,
Newburgh, New York.
Yeah, just talk about your background a little bit.
I come from a really small town that's about an hour north of Manhattan, just an hour south of the state capital, Albany. Really, really bad area, actually. Like, since I believe I was in seventh grade to about now, it's been labeled negatively, murder capital of New York.
Oh. I thought that would be the Bronx.
Yes, sir. It's really like a dark cloud. My whole life, all I've heard is it's easy to get in trouble. It's hard to get out of it. So that's been like kind of my motivation is staying away from all trouble. It's also been a lot of my motivation to stay away from home a lot because, like I said, it's so easy to get into stuff back home than it is to get out of it. I have a lot of friends that are either went through something horrible, had something horrible happen to somebody they know, or they're in prison, they may be dead or stuff like that. So it's always been negative. That's why I've always been big on like going out of state to go to school. I've always wanted to see like there's more to Newburgh, New York, and I'm one of the few that get to see that.
Yeah, how special is that for you? I mean, for your family, and you know, they got to see you, you know, go out and blossom outside of
They're real happy with it. For a lot of my family, it's their first time like being out of New York State, so they're like always excited to be like, oh yeah, I'm definitely going to come to see you. Like, I've had a lot of family come down here actually for my. Well, it wasn't a lot, but I had family come for senior night, and they were, like, so excited. It's winter up in New York right now, and they come down for a couple of days to 80-degree weather. And, like, before this, I was in Connecticut, which is too far from New York, but still, it's not New York. And before that, I was in Illinois, and before that, I was in North Carolina. So, like I said, I'm all for being out of it and seeing, like, being able to see more to Newburgh, New York, than everybody else gets to see.
Obviously, I know a little bit of your backstory, so we'll get into this a little bit, but I know how important family is to you.
Yes.
And now I know your mother's passed.
Yes.
And as somebody that lost their mother, I lost mine when I was 24. So I sympathize with you. I've been there. It's really rough.
Yes,
you know?
Sir.
But did she see this? When did she pass?
She passed January 2017, 3 days after my 21st birthday.
Okay, so she got to see you play some college basketball, right?
She got to stream games.
Okay.
Last game my mom was at was my senior year in high school, my senior night. It's the last game that she was personally at. Everything else she's got to watch like online.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, it's still tough for me to talk about sometimes too. So what was her name?
Valerie. Everybody called her Stacy.
Okay. Why is that?
I was born, that was her name. Right. It was her name. I thought my mom's name was Stacy for the longest until I found out it was
Valerie. Yes, mom.
Yes. That's what I said.
And how old was she?
She was 39 when she passed.
Wow.
A month before her 40th birthday.
I know it's tough, man. It's was it cancer?
Yes.
Okay. What kind of cancer was it?
That they still do not know.
Really?
By the time that we all figured it out, they couldn't tell where it started from. So they really didn't know. I forgot on a death certificate exactly what it says,
fine.
Yeah, nobody really knew.
So it looks like an aggressive form of cancer.
Yes.
Did it come on like suddenly and everything?
We don't. My mom was like so like that. She's like my hero and like the strongest person. It's like she was so good at like hiding stuff. Like you wouldn't know if something was wrong with her unless like she really wanted you to see. And she did a real good job of hiding that she had cancer, as bad as that sounds. And then she finally told me around, I believe, stage 3, she gave me a call and let me know. And she was like, she was optimistic. She's going to beat it. And, of course, everything that I knew about cancer was you really don't survive. So in my head, that's what I was thinking. And she got me believing, like, she's going to be fine. And then, yeah.
Well, I mean, what kind of strength do you take from your mom, though? Because it seems like a lot of your focus is now about making sure she would always be proud of you.
Yeah, like I said, I'm big on family, and that's how she always was, and she's always instilled in me. No matter what you're going through, try to make people smile. Like, it's no point in dwelling on negativity and bringing it in. Don't be a burden in somebody else's life. So, like, that type of strength that I've seen her have since a young age, like, we've been through, like, the worst situations, and she's always been happy. She's always helped people when we'd have nothing. She was still helping people. And, like, I don't, like, that strength that she had was just, like, I don't think I've ever will have that strength that my mom had, but I do believe that she instilled enough strength in me to keep me going my worst days, that I feel strong enough that I'm always going to be fine. Like I said, I just try to match my mom's strength as much as I can.
I'm with you on that, man. Seriously, man.
Thank you.
My mom died when she was 54. You know, she was older when she had me, but she had a stroke, and you know, she was gone in 2 weeks.
Wow,
you know,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's one of those things, man. It sucks. I mean,
yes,
you know,
sir, it really
you expect
does.
Your mom to be here now. You know?
It really does.
Talk about your mom's strength, though. But she was there you said she was there for your darkest times, obviously, as a good parent, you know, any parent should be.
Yes, sir.
But, you had a pretty serious leg injury in high school.
Yes.
Kevin Ware, I think, had the same one from Louisville.
Yes.
So when that happened, explain what happened, and what you, after immediately when it happened, you're like, did you think you were done, you know? Like,
well, before the leg injury, I had... The year before, actually, I had broke my wrist. And a couple years prior to that, I had broke my elbow. I broke my elbow playing football, and she told me, you're done. Like, you have to play a different sport. So I broke my wrist playing basketball, and I told her, like, Mom, please don't make me have to stop playing basketball. And then I break my leg junior year in high school. I'm going up for a block, and the guy that I got was trying to block our legs got kind of tangled up in the air, and all our weight landed on my one leg, and it snapped. Bone comes out my skin. Yeah, really.
Fun times.
Yeah, fun times. Real, real fun. Like I said, of course, my mom was just like, I'm tired of you doing this. Like, you have to stop. You're messing your body up. But like I said, she was always also like that type of mom, like, hey, like, what are you going to do, give up? Like, it's another obstacle. It's life. And she was always big on, like, showing me that this is what life is. Like, either when you're done playing basketball, she would always say, like, there's going to be times where you're going to get hit with roadblocks. What are you going to do, give up? Like, and she was always telling me, like, this your senior year going to high school. I got hurt my junior. And she's like, you can either take this and go at it full speed, or you can just let it derail you. And she was big on supporting me, like I said. She was at every doctor visit, as she, like you said, she's a parent, she wants to be. She just made sure everything was fine. She kept me positive, telling me that, like, you'll be fine. And we're big on religion, so she also kept faith in me. So
yeah, I mean, so how long was the recovery period? Like, so you had a compound fracture?
Yes.
I guess with the the lower bone?
Yes, okay. Sir. I broke my leg January 30th. By March, the middle of March, I was walking I was on bed rest for a month, and in the middle of March, I had one crutch. No, I had two crutches. And then about 2 weeks later, I was on one crutch. And by April, I was walking. So
when did you start getting back in playing basketball again?
I got cleared for basketball. It was about an eight-month period. I got cleared in August for contact. Well, not for contact, but I got cleared to go back and play. And then, like, say the middle of August, I got cleared for contact.
Do you still have any plates in your leg and everything?
Yeah, I have a rod I have a screw just under my knee with a rod that runs from my knee to my ankle and another screw at the ankle.
So anytime you go through a metal detector at the airport?
Luckily, it doesn't.
Oh, really?
No, it does not, luckily. I always thought it would, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, just seeing that, I mean, does this happen before the Kevin Ware thing or after?
This happens before Kevin Ware, and the crazy thing is I actually got to talk to Kevin Ware. I broke my leg January, like I said, and he broke his I think that was the Final Four, I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so it's that same year.
Yeah, okay. Sir. This is around when, like, Twitter was really big. Yeah. Like, and I had, like, everybody in my town, like, tweeting to both of us. And, like I said, my town did a newspaper article on me. So they were, like, tweeting the article. And finally that night, like, he wrote me and was like, hey, just wanted to reach out to you, tell you keep your head, be strong. And he actually gave me a call, like, a couple of days later. And we went back and forth about 2 weeks, I think, and then I don't know what happened.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
That's something you don't expect, you know.
Yeah, it was great.
It's probably somebody you probably seen on play on TV, and you know how good he
is.
I'm not sure if he still plays now or not.
I think he may be overseas.
I lose track of people all the time, so I lose track of my keys. So, you know. that's what happens when you're 40 years old. But, well, you lose track of everything.
Oh, man. So,
yeah, I know. Can't believe I'm 40 years old here. Never mind me. You escape Newburgh, basically, and, you know, stay out of trouble because, you know, your mom probably kill you before anybody else did. Probably, right?
Yes,
and my mom was the same way, so not that I was anywhere near the kind of situation you were in, but, you know, basically poor. And,
yes, sir.
The easy way out is to do something stupid.
Yes, sir.
Know? But, get out of there, and you go to, well, you said North Carolina. So.
Yes, I went to a prep school in North Carolina. I have a lot of family in North Carolina, which also made that decision a lot easier. But I also didn't know in North Carolina how spread out the cities was. So I was thinking, like, oh, I'll be a couple hours over. Next thing I know, I was 2-3 hours from everybody. So I really didn't get to see much family, but I just knew that we were at least in the same state. So.
What academy was that?
Concord Prep. It was a first-year program that did really well, actually. I believe we went 32-9 that year. We did really well. I think we placed, like, 8th out of, like, 50 teams in Nationals or something. We did well.
All right, so you're basically on was that your senior year you went there? Or?
No, that was post-grad.
Oh, post-grad. Okay.
Yeah,
all right, first year after high school. Okay. So you get there. And then you go to, I probably pronounce you, I say Quinnipiac, but...
No, before Quinnipiac, I went to junior college in Illinois, Wabash Valley.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
You find yourself from North Carolina to Illinois.
Yes.
You got to think of city kid, you're like...
Yes, sir. Yeah, Illinois was a big shocker for me. Was not ready for that, but like I said, I made the best of my times, and the people out there embrace me, the whole community. It's like a small community, so everybody knows each other. And basketball is, Wabash Valley College is actually like the front runner school out there. So, like, it was big. Everybody, it's like all one big family. Until this day, them people still reach out to me and make sure that I'm fine.
How did you find yourself out there anyway? Was it a grade thing, was it?
No, sir. No. I've always had good grades. Okay. I just...
Some people do that because
they have
good grades.
Yes,
I was just asking.
Yes, I always had good grades. That was more so after prep school. Still didn't have the looks that I felt like I could have.
Okay.
And a couple coaches knew the coach out there, and that was a good program. And like I said, it ended up working out for me. So
kind of like Polk State is here in a little ways because they've got guys that from been here that go, like, one guy went to Pittsburgh.
Yes, sir.
Like, you know, but, so, yeah, So you're at Wabash, you get 1 year there, and so you transfer to...
Quinnipiac.
Yes. Yeah, I knew I was saying it wrong. That's just what, you know, it's because I'm the big nerd. That's why I say everything wrong. Anyway, but yeah, so you're Quinnipiac, and Division I school.
Yes, sir.
Back up in New York.
Yeah. Connecticut.
It's all the same to me.
Yes, sir. You know?
But yeah, so just talk about your time there and why you decided to leave.
The school is great. It's a beautiful school. At first, the basketball stuff was going really well, and then I didn't have a fallout with the coaches, but it just...
wasn't meshing.
Yeah, it wasn't meshing. I wasn't really getting the opportunity to... Like, I felt that I should. A couple of the coaches were telling me that I would receive an opportunity. I really didn't, and then my mom passed that year, so I was not playing, and my mom passed. I was really frustrated. And for a point in time, I was like, I don't even know if I want to really play basketball anymore. Like, I'm feel like I'm giving it my all, and I feel like I'm being cheated out of a chance to do what I should be able to show that I should be playing. Like I said, my mom passed, and then I took some time off for the funeral and stuff. And when I got back, surprisingly, like, they used to make a joke, your mom did it. The kid that was playing in front of me broke his foot.
Oh.
Like, literally, as soon as I get back, so I start playing. I'm playing well. We weren't good that year. And the last game of the year, I think the day after, our coaching staff got fired, which we kind of knew was going to happen, but was just like, I didn't really want to deal with that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend, actually, his name's Cameron Young, actually. He's from LA, and we were both not playing. We both felt like we should be playing, and he was a junior at the time, and I was a sophomore, so I didn't want to stay knowing that he would be graduating one more year after me. Like I said, I asked for my release, and Coach Donnelly I knew from high school, and
he tried to get you over at his where he coached at before.
He was actually recruiting somebody else from my high school team, but we knew it. We had a relationship, and so once I got my release, he reached out to me, came down here, and loved it. So,
yeah, I think once a lot of people say that once they see this campus, it's just, you know, it's quiet. But yes. It's spread out enough where you can, you know, you can find somebody if you want to find somebody. You can be alone if you want to be alone.
Yes, and I came when school was out, so all my judgment was based off what the coaches was telling me and what I saw. I didn't have any student interaction, and I was just like, this school just seems like it to me. Like, and also, Coach Donnelly played a huge part in it. Like I said, I knew him. He's from up north. I'm from up north, so there was a connection there. And like I said, it's Florida, so.
Yeah, you can go to Disney if you want.
Yeah, it's Florida.
I mean, you talk about, you know, just, like, one of the reasons I went here is because I love the campus.
Yes,
sir. It was just, I mean, you know, just you walk across the campus on any particular day, and it's beautiful. It could be rainy outside, it'd still be beautiful. I mean, except for where it leaks through the cracks and the, you know.
Yes, sir.
you got to be careful about not slipping, too. I know that one. But, you know, Frank Lloyd Wright architecture. Did you ever hear of Frank Lloyd Wright before you got out here?
I did not know who that was before.
Now you never forget
yes,
it, right?
Yes, sir. Can never forget the name.
you know, I was joking with you about it before, but these archways, you know, I mean, it for a guy that's 6'7" like you, it's got to be a little tough. I mean, to fit under some of these spaces. Yeah. Frank Lloyd Wright wasn't the tallest guy, so
no. He
wasn't thinking Sleepy Jones when he played for Southern. So.
Yes, I try to avoid the smaller underpasses when I can, but it gets so hot that sometimes you just want to walk under them. And like you said, they are so nice, so sometimes it's just like a good, mellow mood for you to walk through it and just to see how nice it is. Because this campus is really beautiful. Like, you can see they put their time and effort into making these buildings.
Yeah, some of the buildings come out of the ground.
Yes.
You know, so it's just like, all right, forget about it. Like, that guy was a genius.
Yes, he was.
But let's talk about this year in basketball. I mean, last year you transferred here.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure what you did last year stats-wise. I forgot.
Mediocre.
I forgot to look it up, sorry. Sometimes I don't do my own due diligence. But, you know, you talk about coming into this year. What did you want to prove to yourself this year?
Going over last year, like I said, it was my first year here. And I was knew that I was one of the older guys, but I didn't want to come in with that mindset. Like, I need to be, like, an older guy. I wanted to get a feel for everybody, see the tradition. And I was still coming off of, like, a lot of resentment. Going from Division One to Division Two, I was, like, kind of mad at myself doing that at first. Like, I felt like I sold myself short, honestly.
You thought you made a mistake?
I wouldn't more so say mistake. I was just mad at myself, like, I felt like I was selling myself short. Like, okay. But I always knew that this program was a good program. Like, I never underestimated this program or the talent here. I just was thinking to myself, like, you could have stayed at Quinnipiac and you could have fought through it. But like I said, I just wanted a new change, new scenery. And Coach told me on the phone call, like, don't think that Division One, Division Two, it's not really no different, especially with this conference. This is one of the best conferences in the country, and they can compete in a lot of Division One program conferences. So, and being here the first year, I seen that. Like I said, I had a mediocre year, more so because of myself, feeling, like I said, a lot of resentment coming off the year with my mom and stuff. And then this year, I just knew, like, I never wanted to be I felt like we lost a lot of games last year because of myself, and I told myself this year I did not want to be feeling that way. So, like I said, I did a lot of work this off season, continued to do it in the preseason, and like I said, I'm still working, trying to accomplish. We all on the same goal, and like I said, it's doing good, showcasing what I worked on this off season.
All right, so I have to get to it. The nickname Slinky. So your first name is actually Jaquan.
Yes, sir.
And how do you spell that?
J A apostrophe K W A N.
Okay, K W A N.
Yes,
sir. I was gonna say Q U. I think everybody says that.
Everybody.
Right? Yeah. J A apostrophe K W A N.
Yes, okay. Sir.
So it's Jaquan, middle name Jones.
Yes, sir.
We're going to your middle name. Yes. I don't want to do that because they might get a hold of it, and you never know what they'll do with it. Yes, sir. I know. Cause my middle name's George. People, you know, they go, Georgie Porgy. Yes. Yeah, I'll kill you guys. Yeah, my brother calls me all the time. Mike, thank you, Jay. Shut up. But Slinky. So your mom gave you that name, right?
No.
Oh, actually, okay. Yeah, please.
The name came from eighth grade modified basketball. I know both of my friends are going to be listening, so I'm not going to credit one of them. I personally can't remember who, but they both fight over two of my best friends who actually gave me the name. But it started as a joke. That's what I remember, and it like just stuck. And from eighth grade to today, it's been around, like, to the point where people think that Slinky is my given name.
I mean, everybody knows you as Slinky.
Yes, sir.
Everybody knew Bubby when he was here.
Yes, sir.
You probably met Bubby.
Yes, I have.
He's a very nice guy.
No, he is.
Everybody loved him when he was here, so everybody loves Slinky, too. I know that, man. I've seen the crowd with you.
Yes,
you
sir.
The crowd and everything, so you're always giving your time and everything. That's awesome,
yes,
to
sir.
See that, though. Like, so, you know, like you feel like you have to get not feel like you have to give back, but it seems like it's a natural thing for you.
Yes, it is. Like, even with, I don't know where life would take me, but I always want to be an inspiration to somebody. I'm always taught, you never know who's watching. You never know who's out there that can help you, so I always been like that. I always want to be level-headed and humble. And plus, like, I always think about that's the right way to do things, because I was once that person in the stands looking up to somebody. And I know there's people out there looking up to me, whether it be home or whether it be away. So I'm the same kid here that I would be back home.
And you said you have an older brother.
Yes, sir.
And three younger sisters?
Yes, I do. Three younger sisters.
Okay, so do any of them, like, play basketball or
my
that had to be basketball.
Yes, sir. My 17-year-old sister actually plays basketball. She doesn't take it as serious as I do. I think so. She started playing because of me.
Oh.
So,
well, I mean, that's
yes,
good. That's
yes,
a role
sir.
Model.
Yes, sir. So that, I mean, it makes me happy. But, like, she plays, and my older brother, I mean, he played, but not, like, officially. Like, he just likes to play.
All right, so do you have pickup games against him when you get home and everything?
We haven't had a pickup game in about 7-8 years, so we're waiting on that. Actually, this summer we've planned on one. So
I bet, see, because you probably don't want to, especially now, jeopardize to get hurt playing a pickup
yes,
game
sir.
Against your brother. As you explained to Coach Donnelly, Coach, you broke my ankle.
Yes.
What?
Yes,
he's going to break your neck now. Yeah. Like, I was afraid when you're taking photos out here. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, I was a little nervous.
You were nervous. I didn't want to get that phone call from Mike. Just in case. Thank God nothing happened.
Yes, sir.
But,
thank God.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of the thing I do with the Big Nerd Podcast also is I like to find out what gets your big nerd flowing, man? Because I know everybody's got a nerdy side. Everybody does. Sir. So what is it for you? I mean, it could be basketball. It could be video games. What is it?
Go into big nerd. Like, what's the meaning behind?
Well, the big nerd, nerdy is something that it could kind of a geek status almost. Like, if you liked into video games or comic books or whatever.
Oh no,
we read
Fortnite.
A lot.
Play a lot of Fortnite. That's the thing right now.
That's fine.
That's what I do most of the time when I'm free is play Fortnite.
You play against John?
We usually run teams together.
Oh, so you beat gang up on each other. Yes, against other people, though.
Yes, sir.
But who's better, you or Jonathan?
John, hands down.
You ever get into Apex Legends, too, though?
I have not yet.
It's free, too, apparently.
Yes, sir. I have not yet. I hear that it's a good game.
I heard it's taking over Fortnite stuff, though.
I don't know, man. Fortnite. I don't know if I can switch.
What's your favorite skin on Fortnite, though?
I honestly am not into any skins. Like, I have not bought anything on Fortnite.
You've earned it all?
Yes, sir. I do not buy stuff. I'm not in no game to have I ever, like, spent money. I'm not really that much invested in games.
Okay. I mean, but like I said, one of the things that keeps you, fuels your inner nerd, I'd say nerdy stuff. It could be anything. So you could like to play board games. I mean,
it doesn't matter. Board games too.
It doesn't matter. Yes, I mean, sir. It's not a bad thing. Trust me.
No, sir.
Everybody thinks they own a nerd. I'm like, you call me nerd all you want.
I was a nerd growing up, so.
I mean, I don't give a crap. I mean, call me whatever you want. Just call me late for dinner. Right? I mean, geez. But all right. So going in, you guys got a big tournament coming up. This Friday, weekend against Nova Southeastern. Hopefully you can play Nova Southeastern again if they make the finals.
Yes, sir.
Make finals. Wrapping this whole thing up, what's your, thoughts going into this? You just had a great tournament. You were named all-tournament team. Quarterfinals, you hit a game-winning shot against St. Leo. Everybody, went nuts over that one. They dog-piled you in here. Yes, I saw that. You had a great double-double against Lynn, right?
Nova. One rebound short against Lynn.
Okay, but you had like 19 points and 9 rebounds. Okay, so you had, and then you had double-double against Nova.
Yes, sir.
And, great tournament. How do you guys feel going forward?
I mean, as a team, we're just ready. Right now we're playing some of the best basketball we've played all year because we're not finally, but we're more so focused on our defense right now. Like, my second year here and we have not been worried about offense since I've been here. We've always been able to score the basketball. And coach has always told us that, like, you guys will be able to score. Real championship teams play defense. So, and that's what we're trying to bring home, a national championship at the end of the day. So we know we need to play defense. And no matter who they throw at us, no matter what type of talent they have, we know we're talented, and every team that we play from here on out is going to be talented, but it's going to come down to who wants to really play defense, and that's the challenge we're looking forward to.
Well, Slinky, I want to thank you for joining me. I appreciate it.
No problem.
It took your time out of your busy day.
Thank you for having me.
I know you've got a paper to write or something somewhere.
Thank you for having me.
Maybe you got Fortnite to get to. I don't know. Maybe Jonathan's waiting for you kick his butt in Fortnite or whatever. But thank you again for coming on the Big Nerd Podcast. And hope good luck to you this year and in your future, man. So
thank
I hope
you
keep in touch with you on Twitter, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.